Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 14, King Pururava, enchanted by Orvasi, text number 37. Sriyo ya karuna kora dormarsha priya sahasaha nantyal parte pi Vishram Rabdam Pati Brataram Ram Apyuta. Striya, women, he indeed, Akaruna, merciless, Kura, cunning, Dumarsha, intolerant, Priya Sahasaha, for their own pleasure they can do anything. Gnati, they kill, Alpa Arte, for a slight reason, Api, indeed, Vishrabdam, faithful, Patim, husband, Brataram, brother, Api, also, Uta, it is said. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Women as a class are merciless and cunning. They cannot tolerate even a slight offense. For their own pleasure, they can do anything irreligious, and therefore they do not fear killing even a faithful husband or brother. Purport. King Pururava was greatly attached to Urvasi, yet despite his faithfulness to her, she had left him. Now, considering that the king was wasting his rarely achieved human form of life, Urvasi frankly explained the nature of a woman. Because of her nature, a woman can respond to even a slight offense from her husband by not only leaving him, but even killing him if required. To say nothing of her husband, she can kill even her brother. That is a woman's nature. Therefore, in the material world, unless women are trained to be chaste and faithful to their husbands, there cannot be peace or prosperity in society. Next verse. Women are very easily seduced by men. Therefore, polluted women give up the friendship of a man who is their well-wisher and establish false friendships among fools. Indeed, they seek newer and newer friends one after another. Purport. Because women are easily seduced, the Manu Samhita enjoins that they should not be given freedom. A woman must always be protected either by her father, by her husband, or by her elderly son. If women are given freedom to mingle with men like equals, which they now claim to be, they cannot keep their propriety. The nature of a woman, as personally described by Urvasi, is to establish false friendships with someone, then seek new male companions, one after another, even if this means giving up the company of a sincere well-wisher. So the Bhagavatam is not meant to criticize any one class of people. Is meant to criticize all classes of people. Because anyone who's in the material world, in material consciousness, should be corrected. And therefore the Bhagavatam, out of its mercy, Dharmak prayojita kaitava tra nimatsaranam satam. That the Bhagavatam kicks out all pretentious religious activities. So modern society, although it's declaring itself to be advanced in so many different ways, but it's advanced in the means of going to the darkest region of existence. That's how it's advanced. From killing animals, which is the basic problem for society, because when they establish economic development on the most irreligious principles, then you're sure to engage in the most sinful activities and therefore go to the darkest regions of existence rather than liberation. So here it's mentioning the unfortunate qualities that a woman develops if she's not chaste. Of course, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, kula she pranashanti, kula dharma sanatana, dharma nashtam kulam krishnam, adharma vivat yuta. That when kula she, when the elderly members of the family are killed, kula she pranashanti, kula dharma, then dharma is destroyed. Religiosity. Knowledge of what's to be done and what's not to be done. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Prabhitim cha nivritim cha jana navida asra nisocham napichacharo nasatyam teshu vidite. Now those who are demoniac do not know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor truthfulness nor proper behavior is found in them. And who are the demoniac? It's anyone who doesn't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're, to one degree or another, demons. Generally, Krishna just divides into the divine and demoniac. But there are also persons who are aspiring to be so-called religious, but also have some demoniac tendencies. Now, kulashe pranashanti, if there is no factual understanding of reality, how the material nature works, because after all, everyone is born into illusion, Krishna says, overcome by desires and hate. Everyone was born into illusion. It's not that women are born into illusion and men are born into Krishna consciousness. Even Sugadeva Goswami was only Brahman realized by when he was in the womb of his mother. He had to hear the Bhagavatam before he became fully Krishna conscious. So everyone is born into delusion, overcome by the desires and hate. So if men don't understand what their duty is, then for one reason or another, if there are not men who actually understand what they're supposed to be doing, what they're not supposed to be doing, then you have men misdirecting the women, the women become misdirected, and then they blame it on the women, because the men aren't doing their service properly, their duty properly. Then, of course, women, when they're misdirected, they further misdirect the men, and they combinedly misdirect each other to the darkest regions of existence. And then the men want to blame it on the women, and the women want to blame it on the men. Therefore, I remember when one of the times Prabhupada was in America, he was going around, I was with him in Chicago, and I was with him in Dallas, Texas, when he was there. And Prabhupada was preaching about women's liberation, so-called liberation. He said it's just a trick by the clever men to exploit the women. That the man says to the woman, you're liberated. They have sex, the woman gets pregnant. The woman says, can you take care of the child? He says, no, you're liberated. Why should I take care of the child? You're completely free. So then the woman has a choice, Prabhupada said. I remember he was asking one reporter. And the reporter, Prabhupada said that you want to be liberated, but if you get pregnant, then you have a choice. Either you can kill the child, or you have to beg help from the government. He said, is that very good? And the woman reporter said, well, that's her choice. In other words, without Krishna consciousness, without understanding things properly, then people will make the wrong choice. They think they have a choice. That's their choice. They can't conceive that either one of the choices is bad. Because there's no background. There's no information about they're not their body, what the laws of karma are, that if you kill your child, then you have to come back and be killed again. In the same way that you're killing your child. You have to come back in the womb of your mother, of some mother, and be aborted. That's if you get the human form of life. And people think that's a choice. But it's a very bad choice. Therefore, the Hare Krishna movement, which is distributing Krishna consciousness, and the members who are trying to become Krishna conscious, we cannot take culture out of the Hare Krishna movement and think that we're going to become Krishna conscious. Now, of course, as Gandhi, when he went to England, and he was asked when he was in England, what do you think of English culture? And his response was, I think it would be a good idea. So the problem is, there is no culture except for the actual Vedic culture. And there is reflections, there's partial manifestations of that culture, even in Western civilization. As much as it protects women, as much as it protects the cow, as much as it teaches one that there is God and one should worship him, there is some culture there. But generally speaking, Western civilization, because of lack of real knowledge, is going into the darkest region of existence. Not only Western civilization, but the whole entire planet is going to the darkest region of existence because people have no proper information. Now, if the Hare Krishna members of the Hare Krishna movement also have no proper information, then what is the hope for society? If they think that women should be given, women are the same as men, and they should be given equal rights in every respect. Well, in one sense, everyone is completely equal. Everyone has an equal opportunity to become Krishna conscious. It doesn't matter what body we have. If we think, well, I don't like this body, I can't become Krishna conscious in this body, and therefore I want to act as if I had another body. Well, that's the whole problem. Not only in society, because they're completely an illusion, they don't even know what kind of body they have. They actually want to act according to illusion. I mean, outright illusion. As I mentioned before, one reporter went to a college in University of Oregon. He's probably around 5 feet 10 inches, about the same size as me. And he was asking the college students, he said that, right now I think I'm a Chinese woman who is 6'10". Would you believe me if I told you that? And the college students that at least were on the interview, a number of them who were recorded, said, yes, if you feel you're a Chinese woman 6'10", then I believe you, if that's how you feel. So they're an illusion. We're already an illusion. Whatever body we think we belong, where we are, that's an illusion. And yet they want to go beyond that illusion to even greater illusions in terms of progress in society. So this is the darkest region of existence. That they don't know what's to be done. What is that? they think what is religion to be irreligion, and irreligion to be religion, and therefore they always strive in the wrong direction. Adharma, dharma iti ya manyate tamasa vritaha sarvatam vipari tamascha buddhisaparta tamasi. They think that what is religion is irreligion. They think the Hare Krishna movement are restraining. Just like one lady wrote a book, The Strange Sex Life of the Hare Krishna Movement. Do you know what The Strange Sex Life of the Hare Krishna Movement is? What's that? Yes, they're celibate. Some people think this is really strange. Matter of fact, even some of our members of our Hare Krishna movement, as I always said, they rather, at the time of initiation, even offer the disciples, they only have to follow 3 regular principles. Do you know what they are? No meat, no fish, and no eggs. Then the disciples would be very happy. Even one initiation Prabhupada gave, at the end, he Prabhupada said, what are the four regular principles? And the devotee said, no meat, fish, and eggs, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. And Prabhupada smiled and said, so which of those activities do you like the most? Because the conditioned soul is addicted. They actually think that this is life. And any restraint of these activities they consider to be horrible. They condemn our Gurukul in Dallas. And one deprogrammer kept on saying that, you know, they make their children take showers in the morning, cold showers, et cetera, et cetera. They eat on the floor. Even my they eat off of wax paper. Even my dog, I give him a bowl. Yes. So they can't understand at all what we're doing. It's exactly the opposite of what they're trying to achieve. Although they may go free, they may go cold this winter because of what they were trying to achieve. They may have to get the reactions to their sinful activities, but still they believe that there is no God. By their intelligence, they can do whatever they want because they don't believe in the laws of nature. And therefore, they're free to do any kind of what we call sinful activity, but they call it love. But actually, one should recognize that chastity of womanhood is only possible when there's actually sense control by the men. When men are actually intelligent, they actually know religious principles and follow it, then women can be chaste. Otherwise, they mislead the women, and the women become unchaste, and then the men exploit them in the name of liberation. And then the whole society produces varna sankara, which such children, they do what they do, burn down buildings and act like little animals. Like in Peru, there was a group of children. They were living in abandoned houses. They were called piranhas. You know what a piranha is? What's that? Fish. Little fish with big, big teeth, and you throw an animal in there, 20 seconds, he's only bones. So they're called piranhas because they roved the streets of Lima, Peru, and if they found someone, they'd jump on him, all 50 children, and they rip everything off of him, so he's only left naked, hopefully with some flesh left on his body. And where do they come from? They come from, ultimately, from this modern society advertising atheistic, demoniac principles, even in the biggest universities, proclaiming that God is dead, and that the aim of life is to make money and enjoy your senses to the utmost limit. The biggest universities in the world are teaching such atheistic, demoniac principles, and people actually accept them as an authority, although they're all discretinas, preaching civil ignorance and leading people to the darkest of ignorance. And therefore, there has to be a reaction. As we can see in modern society, because of the killing of the animals, people can't understand religious principles clearly. And therefore, they're forced by the material nature to engage in all kinds of sinful activities, which illicit sex is quite prominent. And because of illicit sex and meat eating, they have to take intoxication to cover up all the, first of all, if you have illicit sex, then you're going to lose so much energy. In order to get the energy back, act like an animal, you have to eat like a tiger. And in order to digest the food, the meat, then you have to drink liquor. And then when you drink liquor, then everyone thinks it's beautiful. So it's inevitable because people are hearing all the wrong information. They don't know they're not their body. They don't know what the purpose of life is, and they have to use their life in order to seek happiness. So naturally, that's how they're going to seek happiness. But it's the aim of this society, of Hari, the Krishna consciousness movement, so that men are trained, the women are trained, and their children are trained. Otherwise, there's no hope for civil. There won't be any anything of civilization the way things are going. But I don't think that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's objective. He's going to force the society to a much more simple position and force the Hare Krishna movement to actually take the Krishna consciousness movement seriously. Because we weren't born in Brahminical culture, and therefore whatever intelligence we have is all by good association. But it's not good enough, because society is degrading itself too fast, and unless that we become more serious in not only distributing the Krishna consciousness philosophy, which is relatively easy, living it is quite a bit more difficult. Where we actually believe that we're not here for exploiting each other, we're actually here to serve each other. So that service attitude is especially difficult to maintain in association with the opposite sex, and even in association of other devotees. It's difficult to maintain that service attitude, but that's what we have to develop. Otherwise, there's no hope for ourselves or for anyone else. And to do that, there has to be some regulations according to the Veda culture. There has to be some separation of the sexes. Women have their roles, men have their roles, and may be slightly modified according to different circumstances in different places. But we shouldn't think that the ideal culture, the Veda culture, is some kind of utopian culture, and that we should just follow modern culture. That's real culture. We have to liberate the women. We have to have the men become, as they say in America, I don't know what the word woke means, but anyhow, men should become like women and women should become like men, and then we'll have equality. So if to any extent we believe like that, then we're going to be in a lot of trouble, our society. But if women act like women and men act like men, and they both act for Krishna, to please Krishna, and the acharyas, then we'll actually have a real civilization. People will become happy. That we don't have to change our role, our position. We have to find out what body I have and then use it in Krishna's service. And then we'll be happy. Because after all, the pleasures of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, they're equally available for every human being, every living entity, in all the different species of life. So there's no advantage of becoming super wealthy, because we don't want to become super poor either, unless we're really Krishna conscious. But Krishna will provide what we need to eat. He'll provide a place to sleep. He'll give us some sense enjoyment, and he'll help us give us some security, especially in Krishna consciousness. And therefore there's no need to imitate some other position, to claim that we're Mahabhagavats when we're just trying to become liberated, or to claim we should have the service of a man and neglect the children, or we should have the service of a woman and act as if everyone is equal without any discrimination, and not probably guide ourselves and everyone else so that we become more enthusiastic in devotional service and more conscious of Krishna, unless we can actually organize our society in such a way as to save ourselves and develop a spiritual culture within our society so everyone's happy just being a humble servant of Krishna, a servant of the servant of Krishna, not thinking that we have to have become the master of the servants of Krishna. So we can maintain that, learn how to maintain a service attitude under all circumstances, then our lives will become successful. And then we can set an example for others. And then the philosophy of Krishna consciousness will be revealed to us, and we'll be able to communicate it more effectively to others by our example and by our instructions. And we'll be able to organize things in such a way is that materially and spiritually devotees and others will also become satisfied and pleased. Therefore, we should not take seriously the so-called information coming from unreliable sources. We should take shelter of our acharyas, They can actually tell us what's to be done, what's not to be done, and maybe, if we're sincere enough, how to do it for ourselves and for others. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments or questions? Yes. Just as by way, these comments about women are not meant to condemn women, because women are when they become like that, it's because the men are worse, usually. The men have misdirected them. So it's meant to show us what happens if you don't do things properly on the women's part, and what to speak of the men's part also, so that we can correct it, so we don't wind up in situations like that. Because women in general, when they're misdirected, they become like that. When they're properly directed, they become like Kunti or Gandharva. Gandhari. Yes?
You said there's something about unreliable sources. So what's the role of, for example, psychology?
Psychology. Well, I went to school, I studied psychology for around 4 years. Actually, 3 years, because I didn't have to do my final year. I wrote an essay on Krishna consciousness. So, what is the role of psychology? Yes, perfect psychology is there in Bhagavad Gita. By contemplating the objects of the senses, the person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust comes anger. From anger comes delusion. From delusion comes bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. When intelligence is lost, one falls into the material pool. Yes, psychology is there in Bhagavad Gita. One has to elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. For one has conquered the mind, it's the best of friends. And for one who's failed to do so, it becomes the greatest enemy. For one who's conquered the mind, the super soul is ever reached. For he has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, all the same. So that's psychology. Everything else is nonsense. Try to tell people, be peaceful and happy and develop your lust to the maximum degree. Or as Prabhupada used to say, they advertised, there was a cigarette called Cool. And their advertisement was, smoke cool and become cool. So Prabhupada used to say, breathe in fire and become cool. That's their philosophy. Stimulate your lusty desires and become happy. That's psychology. Well, the psychology I studied was known as behavior modification. B.F. Skinner, who was a complete atheist, demon. His idea is that we're all a bunch of animals, rats, and that we're all subjected to stimuli and response. Pavlov's response. You ring a bell, and then you feed food, and the dog salivates, and you keep on ringing the bell without giving them food, and he still salivates. So we're just animals, bigger versions of animals, and that we should all be programmed like an animal. So that's psychology is generally. I remember when I was at the University of Texas, I was doing programs there. I would live there for 3 years or something. And I went to all the different departments to do programs, to make engagements. And the only department refused to give us any engagements whatsoever was the psychology department. Because there are different types of psychology, but some of them are more demonic than others. But generally speaking, most of them are all either demons in the mode of goodness, or demons in the mode of passion, or demons in the mode of ignorance. Anything else? Kvala Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.